Well, hello, Merry Christmas, and welcome to Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. We are delighted you are joining us for this short time of question and answers. This time, we're going to focus in on some questions that came in about Christmas, and I thought they were amazing questions because sometimes we function and live in the midst of our culture in a way that doesn't give thought about things that really matter to God and ways that we can live our lives in the world but not of the world. Really, that is our passion, to be so conformed to Jesus that when we're in the world, people notice the difference in us, the holiness, the love, the lavishness by which we live our lives in joy and thanksgiving in the midst of the brokenness that is there. It's not easy to live that way because our world certainly doesn't, and we swim in that worldview, and that perspective tends to invade the church. So I just love taking the time to step back and say, okay, in the midst of a celebration, Christmas celebration, that culturally dominates what goes on really from American Thanksgiving on, how do we as Christians use this celebration in a way that glorifies God? Are there some things that we need to think through? So thank you for these questions, and let me just read them to you, and then I'll respond to them, and we'll go through this, and God willing, allow this podcast to help us to think more clearly about Christmas, but even more importantly, to live in a way that glorifies God, that displays the beauty of what He has done for us during the Christmas season. So the first question, I think maybe the most important one at Christmas, how can I avoid distractions this Christmas? Well, I think this is an important question because it's not just Christmas that distracts. That's one of the main tools of the demonic realm, to use good things, not great things, to distract us and cause us to go offline in terms of our passion to bring glory to God or to be part of His eternal culture rather than our own. And I think these distractions in all of life can really become central at Christmas. So I think the first way, I'm going to use some words, four R words. First R word, repent. Repentance has become negative partly because of the revival kind of context that it was used a lot in. But repentance just means a realignment of our thoughts to God's thoughts, or a changing of our thoughts to God's thought, a changing of the mind. Now, certainly it includes a changing of the way we live, but it changes the way we live because it changes the way we think. And so the first thing is to really say, okay, what does God want from me in terms of my focus and fixation at Christmas? Or I suppose in all of life. And the answer is to be radically Christ-centered or radically God-centered, to live and think in a spirit-filled way, to say, okay, I want to use Christmas not only to celebrate, not only get a rest, not only gather with family, not only eat turkey or whatever, give gifts, receive gifts, but I want to use Christmas to show people how amazing Jesus is, to show people that He is my greatest treasure, that I've been saved by grace through faith, not by works, lest anyone should boast, that the incarnation and its reality matters to me. And so there's this alignment of my thinking with His, and I think we start there. How does the world think? How does Jesus want me to think? Okay, I'm going to choose Jesus' way or pattern of thinking. I'm going to take captive every thought. I'm going to have His mind dominate mine, kind of that Philippians 2, have the mind of Christ in me. Secondly, I think essential, not only that we repent or realign our thoughts with His or His word, but also it's relational. We sometimes think of Christianity and Christmas as traditional or religious. And one of the key ways we can really live for Jesus in the world but not of the world is to remember that it's a relationship that's to drive and define us, not traditions, not religion. And so it's important that we see our Christianity, see our celebrations of Christmas as relational. Then I would say put up reminders, reminders of what really matters, reminders of who Jesus is. In fact, you can use reminders that are all around you. You're going to see Christmas trees, life. You're going to see lights everywhere. You walk around your community, you're going to see Christmas lights and Christmas lights on trees. And use these things to remind you of what really matters, to remind you of the great light that Jesus is in the midst of darkness, the darkness of the season, the Christmas solstice that happens. Use this time, this season, to remind you of who God is, what God has done, and your role in displaying that to others. And so then there's just this radical reorientation of your life. So how can you avoid distractions this Christmas? Well, I think it's good that you're asking the question, and I think the answer is repent or realign yourself with the way God thinks. Make sure you're living in relationship with Him, not only that's began in faith, but is living all of life in that relationship, that you don't lose sight of Him. Use reminders or gather reminders around yourself, and then just reorient your entire life around who He is, so that the distractions that are there from the demonic realm, from your flesh, from the world, are removed, and instead there's a display of your love for Jesus, and Christmas becomes what it should be, an opportunity for us to live for his glory in the midst of a world that is dark in the lightness of the sun. The second question, I think another really good question, and one that I've been asked by pastors and parishioners, can I skip church on Christmas Day? Oh, how inconvenient it is when Christmas Day lands on a Sunday. I mean, don't we have so many other things we want to do on Christmas Day rather than gather together and worship? My, this is clearly a problem. And let me say first, if you just want to answer the question, can I skip church on Christmas Day? My answer is, of course. I've had some people say, well, God doesn't care about one Sunday. Well, no, I agree. He doesn't care about one Sunday. And if it's just the religion of Christianity that you're trying to maintain, then who cares? Either your commitment to the tradition, you have to be there on the Sunday, or your lack of commitment to that tradition, you know, I'm free, I can do whatever I want. You are, I think, missing the point. So let me say this. I think you can skip church on Christmas Day. I just think you need to make sure you're asking the right questions. First, who is Christmas for? And if our answer is, well, it's a celebration of the birth of Jesus, then I think celebrating that on Christmas Day together is perhaps the best thing that we can do, the most alignment with who Jesus is, because it's relational thinking. I would even say Sunday, it's a gathering together of believers, and we know this is not only commanded but needed by us. And so missing church on Sunday for other reasons, although allowed, is dangerous to our own hearts, the deceitfulness of sin. So I think the question really I would change from, can I skip church on Christmas Day, to what most glorifies God on Christmas Day? And perhaps it's not coming to church. Certainly I wouldn't want people just to be there for religion. But if you have a deep love for Jesus, a deep defining relationship with him, and a longing to rejoice in the richness of his love with other believers, then I think this gathering becomes a very high priority. And so I know I've talked with some people I love and respect, who perhaps won't be attending on Sunday. I don't want you to feel guilt, but I do want everyone who listens to be driven and defined by the relationship with God and to ask that question, what most glorifies God with my life? And for me, I will be here Sunday morning, partly because I get to preach and I love to preach God's word to God's people, but also because it's a celebration of Jesus, the one I love the most, the one who has loved me so richly and powerfully that he descended, became fully human, died on the cross, rose again. It's an opportunity for me to celebrate him and to worship with other followers of his. It's a Sunday. That's a day we've set aside to worship God. We need it, and it's an opportunity to serve God by serving others in the church and by showing them the love that Jesus has shown me. And those are really high priorities for Jesus and therefore high priorities for me. So I would just say, in answer to that question, I think you can skip church on Christmas Day. I think you can skip church on other days. I think that the most important thing is that you have a relationship with Jesus that drives and defines you. And if you do, then serving in the church, serving the bride of Christ, loyalty to the bride of Christ, attending services with the bride of Christ become a very high priority and a passion to do what he wants us to do. So I think it's important. I think as a congregation, that's one of the reasons we've decided together to continue to serve Jesus in this way. The next question, and I think it's a very good one, are Christmas traditions biblical? Now, obviously, I would have to know which Christmas traditions this person means, but I want to say this. Sometimes when you inherit a culture, that culture brings new meanings to different things. And it's important to realize that we live in a culture that is really non-Christian. And so many things that we would want to have a biblical meaning really don't anymore. And many things that have a cultural meaning have lost even their cultural meaning. So when it comes to traditions, one of the things that we want to do as Christians is use everything we do to glorify God. And so when we hit a tradition, like we've had many discussions as a church about Christmas trees and decorating Christmas trees, is it a biblical tradition or a non-biblical tradition? I think it's really important to realize that it's not just the evaluation of the tradition that we want, but also the purpose of that tradition today. And so many times we'll forget traditions, or we'll adjust traditions, or traditions will be new and And some can align our lives with our passion for God's glory, and some won't. And the key question is similar to the question of attending church on Sunday morning or Christmas Day. What most glorifies God? And can we understand contemporary Christmas customs with their origin? Maybe some of their origins are in debate, or maybe some of their origins aren't. But either way, I think it's important that we align our lives today and understandings of things today with what the Word of God says, and with our passion to bring honor and glory to Jesus and share the greatness of His gospel. The Christmas tree, I've heard that dated to some pagan celebrations. I like the one that dates it to Martin Luther. I don't know where it comes from. Again, I've heard a number of different stories. I'm not sure which one I would believe in, but I would say this. I don't think there's anything non-biblical about putting up a Christmas tree, and I love the idea of seeing the gifts underneath it representing the gifts for us to understand and remember what Jesus done for us, but also the lights. Used to be candles, they said, in Martin Luther's day, representing the beauty and light of Jesus the Savior. I think it is worth celebrating. I think it's worth setting up the tree. I think just as a nice tradition, but also if we can remember what that tradition represents, at least to us as a church, and that would be life in the evergreen, that would be light in the lights that we light up, and then that would be the gift of Jesus. Some say the gift of the Magi. I think the gift of Jesus, of hope, of life, of being able to live our lives forgiven and for Him. So I think the Christmas tree is one that we want to keep. You'll see them set up in our church. Again, if you maybe have a different understanding of the history of that, realize that very few people do. And even those that do, probably there's all sorts of different ideas behind it. What about giving gifts? And again, most of these are traced to St. Nicholas and some Santa Claus and things like that. Now, what about Christians celebrating Santa Claus? So let me start with the gifts, and then I'll go to Santa Claus. I think gifts, as long as we remember what they're there for and that we don't slip into the false god of materialism, are a good thing. I think giving gifts shows love, and we can, even if we remember correctly, have that celebration of Jesus central in the gift giving, the greatest gift given to us now. We represent by giving gifts to those we love. So I think giving gifts is a good tradition. It's a blessing. I think celebrating, especially with children, and seeing the joy of giving and getting can be, if we avoid materialism and those sort of things, a wonderful thing. I would, though, put up this caution. We should not see gift giving as the central meaning of the season. We should see Jesus, and we shouldn't go into debt so that we meet some sort of false memory from our childhood or something like that of Christmas. So it should keep the main thing the main thing. I think Christmas giving is a good thing. We certainly do it as a family and enjoy it very much, and would recommend it to others with those small warnings. Now, Santa Claus is an interesting one. And again, we were raised in my family not to believe in Santa Claus, although we weren't opposed to him. So we took some pictures in the mall and things like that. I have heard people in our congregation radically opposed and some for. I would again caution us to be humble in our response to this. My own personal response would be that we need to make sure that our children understand the difference between truth and myth, or truth and something that is made up. So I don't think, again, my opinion, I wouldn't judge those who disagree, but I don't think pretending Santa Claus is real for children and then them discovering it's not, or he's not, is healthy. I think that honesty, and then if you want to play into the myth as a part of your tradition with the honesty that is there, I wouldn't have a big issue for or with that. And if you want to take pictures, those sort of things, I wouldn't have an issue with that either. I think the memory of Saint Nick is actually a good one if we understand the gifts and candy that he brought to poor people and those sort of things. Again, I don't think people in our world understand that tradition, and then you've, of course, got the whole idea built into myth with songs, really, in the 1900s and in this century or the last century. You'll find that as well, this idea of a coal, and he knows what's good or bad, and he blesses the good, and those sort of things. We certainly don't want to buy into the myth of the culture, but I think to play on the edges of traditions that have, actually, I think, in his case, good roots, is not all bad if we keep the roots there. I think, you know, there's a number of other traditions. Let me just say, evaluate your traditions with the Word of God and make sure that you're living for God and for His glory in the midst of the celebrations that you have, and accomplish that. I had a question here too. Did the early church celebrate Christmas? I think we covered this a little bit with Johnny. My understanding is no, they weren't all that concerned with the birth of Jesus. They were concerned with the incarnation. They were concerned with His perfect life, and most concerned or most focused or fixated upon His death, resurrection, and return. I do think there is a value to celebrating the incarnation, the amazingness of what God has done for us in sending His Son. The Philippians 2 reality, it produces in us a mind that was the mind of Christ, or a humility and a desire to serve others, a laying aside of our rights in following the Master and living in such a way that that humility is on display. And in our culture, that is so important. So I think if we can continue to celebrate Christmas in a way that honors God, I think that's healthy. You know, maybe be aware that perhaps the reason that culture adopted Christianity was to unify the pagan nation of Rome. Perhaps it was done to transition people from false gods to the true God. Perhaps. I think there is tremendous value, and you'll notice that in how we celebrate as a church, tremendous value in remembering the richness of the incarnation, the glory of the gospel, the reasons why Jesus came. Really remembering and reorienting our lives around this reality, I think is very, very helpful. So really until the fourth century, there wasn't a massive focus on the birth of Jesus, but I think very worthwhile, and I think very helpful in reorienting our lives in this relationship with God so that we're driven and defined by Him. I love Christmas. I love our traditions. We have turkey and we have Chinese food on Christmas Eve, and we celebrate with the church and we worship God. And I love Advent calendars, and I love our Advent celebration. But let's, in the midst of all of those traditions, remember that Jesus is the reason for the season, and it is much more than happy holidays. It's Merry Christmas. So on behalf of the staff at Cloverdale Baptist Church, on behalf of your family at Cloverdale Baptist Church, Merry Christmas. And may you allow this season to be one that reorients your life around what really matters. May you celebrate in a way that warms your heart, sharpens your life in terms of its focus, and helps you to live in the world, but not of the world, for the glory of the One who came into the world, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, paying the penalty for our sins, and rose again that we might know Him, live for Him, and for all eternity be in His presence, for Jesus is coming again.